The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. It is a big day in Phoenix because it is D-Day, DeAndre Day. They don't take DeAndre Ayton, guys. Don't we think that they're nipping on the cooking sherry down there or something? I mean, really, I would like it to be today. And Jordan is down there, and he may check in with us, Jordan Hamm from Sports 360. He's down there today at the Ayton workout, which is going on this morning. Wouldn't we just like it if Robert sat at the podium and said, yeah, DeAndre's here, and we're going to take him with the first pick, and we already know what the salary slot is. We're going to take him in a town car and show him some places that he can live, and then we're going to take him to lunch. We're going to take him to some good dining spots. I mean, you and I could point out the here's the best place to go get pizza, DeAndre, when you're here. Not if you're here, when you're here. The Suns have gone out of their way to promote the fact that they had the worst record in the NBA. They've gone out of their way to say it's so great that we have the first overall pick for the first time in the history of the franchise. Like, it's on their social. It's on their TV commercials. This is so great. This is awesome. It's amazing. We worked hard to get this number one overall pick. No, it means you blew. It means you weren't any good. I failed so miserably that now I'm going to get the best person to come work alongside of me. Come on. So I would like to think that at some point they would start righting the ship. And it just doesn't come down to drafting the player. You have to be able to retain players. Players have to want to stay here. And until they do that, we're just going to continue to go through the misery. I think it's day number 2,942 since the Suns had a playoff game. And so today should be a celebration day. If they roll out, do the LaMarcus Aldridge thing today. Remember when LaMarcus came into town and they did the big banner and then he's like, no, I'm not coming. Hey, guys, we got to remove that banner. How much did that cost? $5,000. You know, put the big banner up today of DeAndre and let's just call it a day. Hold up the jersey today. Do it today. Much more to get to on this here shortly. We have Pedro Gomez. Pedro's going to be with us at about 10:20 on the Diamondbacks and all things around the major leagues. Always good to have ESPN baseball analyst, insider, guy about town. Knows what's going on. Pedro Gomez, inside and out, Valley resident. That'll be at 10:20. We have Talk to the Lopes today with Andy Stankiewicz. GCU has had a couple of players drafted. I'm still waiting for an Arizona State draft. That's just me, not poking fun, not doing anything other than stating the obvious. And U of A's had the most players drafted. Most. They had 10 the last time I checked last night. They've had 10 players drafted, GCU 2, ASU 0. So we'll talk with Andy about the baseball program. And that's all coming up on today's show. And Jordan may check in with us as well, depending on what's going on down there with DeAndre Ayton. Opening comments brought to you by the people at Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. You need life insurance. Have you stopped to think, if something were to happen to me today, what would happen to those around me? Guys, log on and go on Sports 360 AZ. You see their banner out there. Just go yourself to sagicornow.com and make sure that you get that free quote and check out the life insurance for you that fits. That's at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Pedro Gomez here in about 11 minutes, something like that. All right. DeAndre, let me go back on this. So the guy has averaged 20 points per game. He had 29 double-doubles, I believe it was, at the U of A. We've had on numerous guests. Nobody has said yet. And I'm sure that if we reached far enough and searched far enough, yesterday we had Clark Kellogg on, and he was just, it's not even a question. You could take DeAndre Ayton. The idea that the Suns might trade the pick for Karl Anthony Towns, that has been floated out there. I think that's more people on our side of the street than it is people internally at the NBA. Would it surprise me if the Suns shot the pick around? It wouldn't surprise me. Would it shock me if they traded the number one pick? Look, if it's Anthony Davis for the number one pick, I'm probably going to have to listen. But Karl Anthony Towns is on a different level to me than Anthony Davis. I would take Anthony Davis right now. I know it's 25 and 10 or 20 and 10. But the deal with Ayton is it's the number. It's the financial number. It's the contractual number of a rookie player that you control. It's very important when you get these players and they come in that you can control their dollars. Because there is going to come that day where they're making on their second contract, their third contract, where they're making big bucks, and then you have a harder decision whether to keep them or not. DeAndre Ayton is not going to lead the Suns to a playoff berth, in my opinion, next year. There's too many other holes on this team. Next year, this is a team that, if I'm being nice and realistic about it, if they bump it up to 30, 35 wins next year, that's significant progress. To think that, well, they're going to draft DeAndre Ayton and they're going to have 25 more victories next year and they're going to be right there as the eighth seed, I would say that's hard to believe. But again, I don't know what they're going to do in the offseason. I don't know if this is finally going to be the year that Ryan McDonough doesn't get used and abused from people like Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge. The track record shows, this isn't me pontificating, it's a fact. Guys, give me a quality big-time free agent that has come here that has produced under the Ryan McDonough, Robert Sarver era. And the answer is zero. Big-time free agent. Okay? And until they're able to do that, you're going to try to get through with young players that are getting better. Devin Booker is getting better, emerging as a star. The league is putting him out there. You put him on Jimmy Kimmel Live the other night for a skit. They just don't do that for anybody. That's the NBA entertainment side. So obviously they want to build up Devin Booker's brand. To me, it's Devin Booker's brand's going to get built up, and he's going to look at the situation here and say, these guys can't seem to figure it out. They can't find their ass with both hands. I'm out of here. So this is a crucial time for Devin Booker. If you don't draft DeAndre Ayton, most of the fan base, what's left of it, is going to be scratching their heads because I think most people, although I really don't get when I get an email or two saying, well, he's a wildcat, just shut up. It's the dumbest. I mean, the whole Sun Devil Wildcat thing is beyond ridiculous to begin with. That makes it even more ridiculous. He's the best player out there. I don't care. And he went to school for, what, 6 months? It's not like he was taking advanced calculus in March. No, he's working out with a personal trainer. So let's get over that whole thing. That's just nonsense when it starts coming down to, ooh, he's wearing red and blue. He must support, whatever. So the idea that Ayton isn't a good fit on any level or that he's Greg Oden. Now, Greg Oden got hurt. DeAndre Ayton, number one overall pick by the Suns, could get hurt, sure. Today should be a big day of celebration. Today should be a day where the Suns go out and they take some video of DeAndre Ayton working out and they put it together in a spot. And the spot airs tonight and it says, we are trying to get this figured out. We apologize for the last 8 years. We brought in DeAndre and then put up a fake jersey that has his name on the back with the number. You're going to see him coming up after June 21st. Really simple. Rather than, hey, we sucked. And guess what? We have the number one pick. Absurd. The other thing about today, to me, is that they're making him available, that they're bringing him in for a personal workout. I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought that they were going to do the typical bring him in, shadows of the night, the Amari Stoudemire thing, and bring a guy in that nobody's going to know about. But, give him credit on that. They're going to bring DeAndre in. He's going to speak today. I'm sure tonight during the NBA Finals, there's going to be some mention, some video of DeAndre working out today. He was in Phoenix. Phoenix has a number one pick. Don't miss our draft coverage. And see if DeAndre Ayton ends up with the Phoenix Suns and all that stuff. That'll happen tonight during the Cavs and Warriors game because there's really nothing else to watch around the Cavs-Warriors game from my point of view. And if the Cavs come back and win that, upset city for sure. This is a big day in the NBA too, because to me, it feels like Brian Colangelo is going to get fired today for what's gone on in Philadelphia with the burner accounts. This is a story that last week, I know Jeff Munn addressed it when he sat in here for me. To think that there aren't other people doing that sort of thing on Twitter where they have multiple accounts in professional sports, I think is a bit naive. Doesn't surprise me. Guys are always trying to find ways to motivate players. I had an NFL GM tell me once, I was the host of his weekly show. It was one of those deals where they come on, and thank God it wasn't all this, everything is great when the team's getting their heads kicked in. But he actually told me, pulled me aside, said, hey, please get on this guy's case more, because I got to find ways to motivate him. I'm like 23, 24. So I'm journalistically, I'm tilting my head saying, if I feel like it, I will. But I did. Brian was using, by all intents and purposes, whether it was his wife or himself, he was using social media as a way to put out his narrative and his language without it being him saying so. If Danny Ainge were to go do that sort of thing, because Danny has had great success here in the last several years in Boston, I don't think there'd be much of a stink at all about it. But because Brian has gone out and has done things like Markelle Fultz rather than Jason Tatum and traded Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor for a bag of rocks, he's got a target on him in Philadelphia. It's just from my point of view. Personally, I happen to like Brian. Professionally, I don't see how he survives this. I'm sure Jerry's furious. I'm sure Jerry is embarrassed. I'm curious to see if Jerry sticks around as a special consultant to the 76ers if this goes the way that I think it's going to go. But today should be the day that there's some resolution on Brian Colangelo. This is what they call a news dump. Find a couple of big events. Everybody's going to be focused on, oh, by the way, over here, Brian was let go. And people aren't going to talk about or focus on it. Well, that works for some, not for me. So that's going on today. Somehow, some way, the Cavaliers and Warriors figured out a way to get involved in the whole Philadelphia Eagles not going to the White House controversy. I'll get into that a little bit later in the show. And Kent Summers had a good note on how don't get so wound up about Josh Rosen. Sam Bradford is going to be in play. And I know that there's those that are going to want to have that happen. Our partnership with AZ Central, go read Kent and what he does. Good stuff there. But Sam was brought here not just to hold a clipboard, okay? And you got to find out first and foremost if Sam can stay on the field. I think he gives you the best chance to win, better than Josh Rosen, at least right now. Got some other things to get to as well, but up next, Pedro Gomez. We turn our attention to baseball and things going on with the Diamondbacks with ESPN and Valley resident, the best in the business, Pedro Gomez. That is next. I'm Brad Susmat. And now time to turn our attention towards the major leagues and all things around the Diamondbacks, and that is with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, insider, and a recent college grad, or high school grad dad, which is good news for him. I think that was last week over Desert Vista. How are you?
How about you?
I am good. I am good. I am very pleased that the baseball team had teams like the Reds and Marlins come in since last time we spoke. I was getting rather tired of the garbage that I was seeing on the field. They're 5-2 in their last seven. Have they figured it out? Or is it just, as I pointed out, they found a soft belly in the schedule?
It's the soft schedule for all intents and purposes. It's kind of like when the Angels started out 13-3, well, if you look at those first 16 games, they played Oakland six games, they played Kansas City. You know, you're also a product of who you're playing at the time. And that doesn't necessarily mean, because let's not forget, look, the D-backs had the Dodgers, I think it was 12 times.
Yep. Nationals for six.
Yeah, but the Nationals started playing really well when they were here.
Milwaukee?
But they caught the Dodgers at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers were a mess, and that's when the D-backs caught them. So, you know, they got lucky in that sense that they caught them at the right time when the Dodgers were not playing well. But, you know, you get the Reds, you get the Marlins, and you can kind of fatten up your schedule. But you do have to fatten it up at that time.
Right.
And so they do get credit because they did beat the Marlins and the Reds, a club that they should beat. But, you know, they've still got some flaws and some holes, and, you know, they're going to have to find some pitching, whether that be the return of Robbie Ray and Shelby Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Those could be two huge boosts. But, you know, Shelby also has not pitched in the big leagues in almost 2 years. So it's not like you're dropping in and you're going to be the star, the all-star that you once were. It's going to take some time, and there's probably going to be, you know, some hiccups.
The I'm getting to the point with Zach Godley where I think there's got to be something going on there because he seems to get hit hard most every time out now. And, you know, the Buchholz acquisition has proven to be very good. I had Derek on yesterday and brought up John Lackey's name, and he didn't bring anything forth on that front. I think relying on Shelby Miller this year, Pedro, I mean, you just can't rely on Tommy John guys the year that they come back.
No, and that's what I meant. You're absolutely right. You cannot – if you get anything, it's a bonus.
Right.
But really, the first year back, it's usually not that great.
The National League West, we're talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. It's always good to have Pedro with us. National League West, as I look at it right now, it's 5.5 games back are the Padres. The Diamondbacks have a one-game lead, and they were just awful in May. And I'm looking at the Dodgers. Dave sits down, Cody Bellinger, and then Cody hits one out last night. It's a matter of time, isn't it, before the Dodgers zoom past everybody? Or is there more to this Kershaw back thing? And they just don't quite have it all together this year. And this is how it's going to be. We're going to have an 86-85 win team out of the NL West. What do you make out of this?
I would go with the latter rather than the former. I am not sure in speaking to people from other organizations that the Dodgers have it all together. Let's not forget 4/5 of their opening week rotation is on the DL, with the biggest being Kershaw. And certainly it does not look promising for his return, whether that be this year or whether that be the All-Star Kershaw. It's, you know, he just – I was at the game last Thursday when he came back, and it was definitely not the same Kershaw. Yeah, he only gave up one run in four innings, but the outs were hard. Like, the Phillies were hitting him hard. He just happened to have a little bit of luck where they were right at players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the velocity was down. The stuff was not crisp the way it normally is with him. And, you know, granted, he has set the bar so high, but when you've got Rich Hill, Kenta Maeda, Hyun-Yu Ryu, and Kershaw all on the DL, and Alex Wood is the only healthy...
Oh, Pedro.
They've definitely got some issues. I would say right now, Brad, the team that should probably scare everyone else in the NL West is the Giants, because they're getting Bumgarner back, they're getting Samardzija back, mm-hmm. they're going to get Cueto back. And I know their offense has struggled, but if you get that kind of pitching, you can win some games.
All right, so then that takes me back over here. So if you're Mike Hayes and you're looking around the NL West and you're in the first week of June, and yeah, you've had your share of injuries too, most notably, I think, losing Robbie Ray and now A.J. Pollock being out. Is he looking at this saying, I've got to find a way to get this rotation figured out first and to get us to the 85-win mark? Does he have to be proactive, I guess, is the question, because the other teams are going to pass them by from your view and my view?
Usually you're going to have to be proactive, and you're going to have to go out and try to make a move. If you truly believe, that this is a club that can reach the postseason again. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, those are decisions that only the front office can make. If they look at it and say, why are we going to trade someone that we're going to need in a year or two just to try to make the postseason this year? I would say that Mike Hazen may very well balk at that decision, because you could very well be losing A.J. Pollock this year.
Right. No, that's right. And that's what I'm getting at, is the Pollock situation. I don't think the wild card, at least right now, is going to come out of the West, or one of the wild cards is going to come out of the West.
No, not like last year.
Right.
Both clubs came out of the West.
Yep.
It's win the division or you're not making the postseason. And in this case, I'm not sure. I mean, I just think that it is a watered-down NL West this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers are not the monster that they have been the last 5 years. Colorado looks good, but they're also flawed, especially when it comes to pitching. So, you know, if you are the D-backs and you're Ken Kendrick, who we know has a history of saying, no, let's go for it, well, then you very well could see the D-backs make a trade. But it also could be one that they may regret because they are potentially losing some pieces.
You want to go get a drink of water and I can fill for a second?
I'm good. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. To that end, when you bring up Ken saying, let's go make a deal. So Manny Machado's name is out there. Manny Machado's name has been out there. I think you and I talked about him in like the first week of the season. That's the biggest name that constantly is swirling around. Is he going to be moved, A? B, is it a team in the National League West that has a shot to go get him? Because I'm looking at this like I've got to go all in if I'm going to be the Diamondbacks this year to make something happen. And his name has been linked to the Diamondbacks in the past.
It has. The issue is that the Orioles know that they have an ace up their sleeve, and they are not going to give him away at a low price, kind of like what the Tigers did last year with the Diamondbacks in J.D. Martinez, where it was three low-level minor leaguers. That's not going to happen with Manny Machado. He is a bona fide superstar, and J.D. at the time was kind of like, okay, he's having a nice season, but he wasn't at the level that he's viewed at now. And Machado is. And if you've got a club like the Dodgers who are missing their shortstop for the rest of the season, well, you figure that they're going to up the ante and give the Orioles more for down the road, and especially the Orioles who are already 22 games out or whatever it is of first place, and you know, they're looking for the future. They're not looking at this year or probably next year either. They're going to want some significant pieces. If you're the D-backs, I don't think Mike Hazen does that.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have enough here, I don't believe, but it is...
No, not in the system.
No.
They have lower level, and that's not what the Orioles are looking at.
So basically...
They're looking at players that are more major league ready within a year.
Yeah. Because we can go through the usual, what's going to happen with Goldschmidt's contract and what's going to happen with Greinke's contract. They're kind of at that point where they're still in first place. They're a game up, but it looks to me like they're going to get run past. I still think the Dodgers are going to figure it out, and I agree with you.
Well,
on the
they very well could, and they also have the deepest pockets where they could go out and get a Manny Machado.
Correct.
But I'm not so certain that they're going to kick it into gear the way they have the last several years. I just don't think they have the pitching to be able to do that.
Before you get out of here, what's going on? Where are you going to be this week? Are you on the air this week, or are you?
NBA Finals, so all our concentration is there. I was at Kershaw's game last Thursday. I was at Ohtani's game last Wednesday in Detroit. Right now, it's probably a lower key week for me.
Got it. Stay well. Thanks, as always.
Okay, Brad. Take care.
See ya. There's Pedro Gomez with us. Every week, things going on around the baseball scene with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. Always good at content there. I'm going to circle back on this White House deal with both Steph Curry and LeBron James weighing in yesterday. More on Brian Colangelo. That is yet to come down. It's happened in the last few minutes. Sports360AZ.com, the big story today, DeAndre Ayton is in town, downtown at the arena, working out. He will speak in about an hour. Jordan Hamm is there. You'll see all this content up on the website as the day progresses. Stay with us. So there's a couple stories nationally today that are getting a lot of buzz, and they're interesting to me, one more so than the other. The Brian Colangelo story and the burner accounts on Twitter, to me, is far more interesting than what's going on with Donald Trump and the NFL, other than the NFL owners, I think, believe that Trump was in their pocket and on their side, if Trump is ever in somebody's pocket. In fact, I'm sitting here talking about Donald Trump on a sports show. It probably makes some of you squeamish and you want me to move on to recruiting or things along those lines. But I'm not going to do that here for a bit because this whole anthem thing has been so, in my opinion, misconstrued. And as usual, the players are the ones that are trying to be painted out to be the bad guys. And the players, in my view, you may not agree with me. It's fine, I would hope. Disagreement is healthy. It's to the point where people are like, oh, we can't say anything controversial or we can't express our opinions. That's dangerous. Okay, so when it comes to police brutality and videos that are out there, cell phone videos and things along the lines of African Americans being beaten, abused, and police brutality, not across the board, but police brutality in general, we're trying not to go out and look at somebody by color of skin. Unfortunately, most of the videos that we see out there are along those lines. And it's hard for me to sit and watch those videos over and over and over. What do the players have that they can do? What can they say? What is their stance? Well, they don't really have one. And if you're one of those that says the owners have to make the players do this or do that, it's borderline slavery, in my opinion. These guys have the right to express their opinions and their views. White, black doesn't make any difference color of someone's skin. It just doesn't to me. And so the mistake I think the owners have made here is to believe that Donald Trump was right there alongside of them. And so now they're right back in this fish barrel again in the offseason of the anthem. Meantime, here's the NBA where you have Steph Curry and LeBron James both yesterday openly sitting in front of microphones. Steve Kerr, everybody is talking openly about this, and it's not that big of a deal. It really isn't. LeBron James and Steph Curry said, yeah, we're not going. There's nobody on these two teams that wants to go to the White House. The history of going to the White House started in 1865. I went back and looked this up. It started in 1865 after the Civil War. So this is something that has been going on for years and years and years. Doesn't mean that as it's been going on that it's still a good, proper way to go about honoring teams that win championships. Maybe this has outlived its usefulness. Maybe people don't want to go celebrate with the President of the United States, and I'm fine with that. You should not have to be forced to stand with somebody for a photo opportunity who has a different political view agenda than you. Okay, that's been very one-sided through the years. You're a champion, you get to meet the president, and we're going to capitalize off of your celebrity. Well, that's not good. It's not good. It doesn't matter what political side this is on. It could be the same thing with Barack Obama as for Donald Trump. This is just my view. It's dangerous ground when the president is taking advantage, I think, of the situation. I'll put it like this. I had a family member who was over in Iraq, and he served a couple of times. He was a guardsman. And the last time that he came back, he was in Kansas. Last time that he came back, he was sent back on a ship. They dropped him off on the East Coast. They said, good luck getting back to Kansas. And he had to figure it out for himself on how to even get back home. He gets back home, and of course, the politicals want to have a parade. And they want to do the photo ops. And I told my brother, because it was my brother, I told him, I said, look, you've got to let them know you need a job. You're coming back to a tough situation. They had a tornado that wiped out the community and all this stuff. He didn't do it. They did the photo op. Guy leaves. Brother struggles to try to find work coming back. But of course, they got the photo op of, look at the soldier coming back home. Look at the guardsman coming back home. And we're here for him. That type of nonsense just should not happen. It shouldn't happen. And unfortunately, I've seen it firsthand. So when I see politicals that try to saddle up and put their arms around athletes because it makes them more popular and it makes them cool, that's just something that I'm very squeamish and uncomfortable about. That said, I think the NFL owners felt as though we got Donald Trump here. He's on our side. And Trump decides this week to drop the bomb on him. And the league just can't get out of their own way. There's always something going on around the NFL that's not stuff that you want to have out there. In the meantime, the NBA, they're just going about their finals and it's a day off, and LeBron and Steph say, yeah, we're not going to them. And they just move on. So that story is interesting to me. The Colangelo stuff. So I was talking to a friend this morning. The 76ers are in a really interesting spot. They're one of the few teams that can go after LeBron James this offseason. They have an expiring contract of Jared Bayless, former St. Mary's star here in town. It's a pretty good number. They have the ability to clear up enough space that they can go out and make a serious run at LeBron James. Now, LeBron James could look at the opportunity that Philadelphia presents itself. Very good young roster. It's not like what he's trying to do in Cleveland, where he's out there with four dudes and that's about it, unless Kevin Love is hitting some shots from outside. Losing Brian Colangelo 2 weeks, if they decide to punch his ticket today, today's going to be the day. If they decide to punch his ticket today and move him out, there's other ripple effects too. The 76ers have draft picks involved in 2 weeks, whether they're in the LeBron sweepstakes or not. Did Brian have really that much to do with turning Philadelphia all the way around? I think it's a very fair point to debate. Yeah, I like Brian. Brian and I had our dust-ups. We had our blow-ups. We didn't speak. We yelled and all that stuff. It's part of this job. Part of his job, too. Media's got to do their thing. If I say he's in a bunker mentality after he gives Tom Gugliotta way too much money and gets mad about it, that's part of what we do. I'm not going to sit here on the air and talk about it in the process. I'll bring it up for context's sake 20 years later. And we did. We had knockdown dragouts. Happened. But I think, you know, somebody asked me this morning, do you think Brian gets another job in the NBA if he gets blown out? I think the surprise of the day would be, and I'm only going off of what has been written, not what has been researched. I'm not jumping to judgment. I'm only going off what I've read by people whose opinions I respect. Not going into social media in the world's largest sports bar and saying, well, it must be true. What I've seen out there at this point, Brian's probably should move on. But I also look at his body of work in Philadelphia, and he's had misses. He's had misses that are pretty big. Jahlil Okafor, New Orleans Noel, not getting a whole lot in return. The Bayless contract, $8 million, and Jared barely played this year. That's stuff that's not deniable. That said, would I want Brian Colangelo in my front office? Yeah, I would. I think he's pretty sharp. Brian may be better served to be out of the NBA at this point. He's already gone from Phoenix to Toronto to Philadelphia. I'm not saying this is the end of him in the NBA, but I think there comes a point where there's more that he can do than just being a general manager of an NBA team. I really believe that. And so if it's in the college game, you know, Jerry, of course, is tied in over at GCU, but knows a lot of people. If it's in the Olympics, the whole deal of nepotism was brought up quite a bit in Philadelphia, but that seemed to subside as the season progressed. My point on this with Brian is if you take the whole body of work and the whole idea of having burner accounts and lighting fires under guys or putting out information that makes your own team look bad or makes you look good, and you're the one or people in your circle, it's his wife, if it's other people that haven't come out as of yet, that are in your circle that makes you look good, then I think you got to go. I mean, I've had a burner account on Eric for a long time. Have you noticed that?
No, I'm not.
You've never read the burner account?
I'm not important enough for anyone to have a burner account
about
me.
Get out of here. What are you talking about?
But I do think there is one that surfaced yesterday because someone started following me on Twitter, and it's clearly someone that doesn't want people to know who they are.
Oh, it's a bot?
No, it's a real account.
Yeah.
It just is, it's regarding Arizona high school football.
Oh, it's
and
one of those
so,
things.
You know, I looked at, oh, you have 4 followers, but you're following 100. Let's see who you're following. And there was a very consistent theme came to who they were following.
So you're at that point in your life now where you're that important.
No, I'm not. I've just this
you're
whole,
one of 100.
And this whole Brian Colangelo thing just sort of opened my eyes to this different world of social media. I mean,
you have to believe there's other people that are doing this.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I'm sure Ryan McDonough has a fake Twitter account. I'm sure he does.
But fake Twitter accounts is one thing. Fake Twitter accounts is one thing. Having a bunch of them,
that's just obsessive.
A bunch of them? I mean, come on. And then it's, well, one of them's for my son's club basketball team.
Why do you need that?
Take a break here. Back with more after this timeout. Now we go down to the arena. Jordan Hamm is there because today is D-Day, DeAndre Day, and the Suns are working out DeAndre Ayton as we speak. Did you see him come in? I know it's closed in terms of watching him do his thing, but did you see him arrive?
We did not. It's been pretty closed off based on where he's been and that sort of thing. So really just been posted up in the Al McCoy Media Center
yeah.
And waiting for him and Ryan McDonough to swing by here in about an hour.
We're hoping that you're going to ask the question of, are you going to be drafted number one overall by the Suns? And if so, are you apartment shopping today? We want dirt, okay? I want stuff out of this. I don't want, it was a great workout, and I jumped really high, and I slammed really hard. And Ryan says, yeah, he shoots well, he runs well. We're not going to tolerate that today, Jordan. I want something out of you today, okay?
Fair enough, yeah. I want
hard-hitting.
I'll see where they're going to lunch. I'll see if he's sticking around tomorrow for the Maroon 5 concert that's happening here at US. Or excuse me.
Talking Stick
Resort Arena.
Yeah.
I'll get the dirt. I'll see if he's a Maroon 5 fan.
Only you would know Maroon 5. No, I shouldn't say that. No, I want to know, like, what jersey number does he want? Is he going to other workouts, or does he know that he's coming here to Phoenix? Have the Suns said to you that they are taking you number one overall, DeAndre? And if he says no, then come on, guys, get off the stick. But you know, this is going to be one of those dog and pony shows, right? Is that what you're expecting?
I think no matter what sport, if it's a pre-draft workout and pre-draft interviews, there's going to be smoke screens. There's going to be...
Why? It's the number one overall pick. What are we doing here smoke screening?
Because if someone feels like they can have even more of an edge, they're going to try to take it, even though I think you and I both believe DeAndre Ayton should be the first overall
pick. The Suns have no edge. They've blown for 8 years. What are you talking about, an edge? You sound like Espo here with this whole edge stuff. Are you kidding me?
I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of Ryan McDonough.
Don't do that. You'll get fired. You'll be fired if you put your feet in his shoes. All right. Go ahead. Finish. Go ahead. Do you have anything?
I'll just get cut off again. So fine.
Okay. I'm just making sure. So there's a bunch of media down there, right?
Yep. Good amount of media. Justin Spears from the Arizona Daily Star made the trek up from Tucson.
No Sean Miller.
No Sean Miller yet, but you know, yeah. You saw a couple days ago he did give his endorsement for DeAndre Ayton.
I would hope so.
But yeah, looks to be like, yeah, it wasn't the Jim Mora Jr. effect with Josh Rosen, but you got the vote of confidence from Sean Miller. So it looks like it should be a pretty big event here this morning at Talking Stick Resort Arena.
All right. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate you having some fun on the air. It was fun for me. I don't know if it was fun for you, but I'll let you go off that. See you later. It's Jordan Hamm. What do you mean, let him talk, let him finish?
Sometimes you have the worst manners with our guests.
Huh? What are you talking about?
No, it wasn't a case that you weren't listening. You were just constantly interrupting.
Yes.
So tomorrow during your monologue in the A, you're going to be halfway through something. I'm just going to just jump on the air and just interrupt you saying something that's completely irrelevant.
It's fine. What are you saying? Did I say stuff that's completely irrelevant? Jordan was trying to say he wants to be in Ryan McDonough's shoes. I don't want him to get fired.
You just want him to get reassigned.
Yeah, yes, I do. No, that's right. That's well put.
We like Ryan McDonough.
Go over to scouting. See you later. Thank you for playing. There's a guy in Brazil you need to go see, and then a guy in South Italy. Knock yourself out.
But even if they take Ayton and he's a bust, no one can blame Ryan McDonough.
No.
Because the majority of the people would take DeAndre Ayton, number one. If you probably surveyed, I'd love to survey all the GMs around the league and say, if you had the number one pick, who'd you take? Because I bet most of them would say Ayton.
Why wouldn't the Suns, this is my mind thinking, okay, and that's dangerous. Why wouldn't the Suns say today, hey, anybody who's a fan of our team, come down to the arena, we're going to open up the doors, and we're going to have the practice court, we'll have the court down, and you can watch DeAndre Ayton's public workout.
No way.
Why not?
Because of this.
What would happen?
Right here.
Oh, phones.
Phones.
Check them at the door. It's like
and
going
you know,
to movie
like,
screenings.
All these teams are so, it's just like the NFL draft. All the teams are so anal about like information getting leaked. And here's DeAndre Ayton. He's 7'1", 215 pounds, 50 pounds. He's been playing basketball for 5 years, and he's a genetic freak.
Yeah.
Like, what else? If I was Ryan McDonough, I'd bring him in, sit him down. Hi, I'm Ryan McDonough. okay, your workout's done. Let's go meet the media. Like, what more do you need to see from him?
You weren't here off the top, but that's my point on today. I'm not being facetious here. Okay, so what if fans show up? The Suns are so far off the radar screen that they've resorted to, hey, we sucked so bad, we have the number one pick. You should get excited.
And they're like gloating.
They're celebrating. Yeah, it's just dumb. So this is Robert's chance to walk out center court with the orange down, microphones out there. Even Al could do it. Robert walks out. Hey, I'm sorry for what's gone on the last 8 years. It's been unacceptable. It's on me. It's on us. Through our getting really bad, now we're going to start getting really good. And to do that, we brought in DeAndre Ayton for his workout today. What else do we have to see? I mean, really, there's nobody that can trade in front of them. You're the car. You're the pace car.
Yep.
So you could have had fun with, you could have captured this event. And today it wouldn't be about whether Josh Rosen or Sam Bradford in June is going to be the starting quarterback for the Cardinals. You could have owned this 2 weeks early. You could have ridden this horse really hard. Instead, we're going to put a spot on tonight celebrating during the NBA Finals that we sucked for 8 years. No, seriously, what would the NBA have said about this? You can't have DeAndre Ayton out there. Why not?
Well, during the game, Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy were
asleep.
We're talking about how great the old Suns teams were with KJ and Chambers.
Oh, that's right. You brought that up.
And that happened about 3 minutes after the spot ran about, hey, we're getting the number one pick. We suck really bad. Let's all be excited.
Jeez.
Like, man, I remember those good old days.
I mean, I'm serious here. They could have owned this, but, you know. Andy Stankiewicz is next. Talk to the Lopes. So GCU has already had a couple players taken in the draft. U of A has had 10 players taken in the draft. ASU's had 0 players taken in the draft. We'll focus in on GCU. We have a partnership with them. We appreciate Talk to the Lopes every week with Andy Stankiewicz. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics. This week it is Andy Stankiewicz, the head baseball coach for GCU. It's been a big week for him. The last few days, seeing players getting drafted. I know the season didn't end how you wanted to, so I'm going to move forward from that unless there's something that you want to add because you have too much good stuff going on. How are you, coach?
Brad, I'm well, thank you. Yeah, no, we can move forward. That sounds good to me.
All right, so let's go through this. Jake Wong gets taken by the Giants. And Vorhoff gets taken by the Yankees. Walk me through what it's been like for you this week to have two of your own taken.
Well, it's exciting for sure. You know, we knew that Jake Wong was going to be, a guy that was going to be drafted relatively early, on the second day. It's exciting for him, to see his development as a young man, a student athlete and getting the chance to chase a dream in professional baseball, and not just chase it. I mean, it's when you get drafted, in the second pick of the third round, 80th pick. I mean, that means that there's strong, interest. It's just not like, hey, maybe this guy can make it. They obviously feel pretty good about where he's at now and where he can help the Giants get to in the future. And so just really excited for him and his family and our program. It's the highest pick that we've had, I believe, from Tim Salmon, some 30 years ago, or close to it. So it was a really rewarding day yesterday. For sure.
And then you end up getting a second player taken.
Yeah, that was neat, too. You look at the job that Mick Voroff has done, four years. Brad, he came here as a walk-on. He came here as a real good athletic pitcher, infielder, a lot of shortstop in high school as well. And so we just, today we've got a roster spot for you, and we're going to put you on the mound full time. No more shortstop. If that's something you'll do, we'll give you a shot. And he jumped at the opportunity and ran with it. And here it is, 4 years later, he's drafted in the ninth round by the New York Yankees. So that's a great story, and that's why you coach. Your young men kind of just rise above and challenges and take them head on and they get a chance to do some great things.
Okay, to give me a deeper dive on both these players from this standpoint, Is this about where you expected both of them to go? Did they go higher than you thought? Did they go lower than you thought? If you're going to say they went higher than you thought, that'll sound like it's demeaning towards them. It's not. You know, it's just give me a vibe about where they were selected, and is this about what you expected?
No, with Jake, I did think this was about, I thought, you know, third, fourth round. So I think that one was held on. I think with Nick, you know, the senior, with the, you know, the way the draft is now with the money and how it works, you know, I think we knew that Nick was going to be interesting from the standpoint of being a senior. Now, senior, remember, there's no leverage there. So he's basically got to sign whatever signing bonus that they say. And he will. And he just wants the opportunity to play baseball. And so he's kind of, that's why you see a lot of senior signs in that 7, 8, 9, 10th round, because they're kind of money savers. They're good players. The organization likes them. They feel like they have value. But they also know that it'll save them money. So now there's money that they need in the earlier rounds, or if it's money that they need in the 15th, in the 22nd. It just frees up, you know, their pool of signing bonus pool. So that one, I will say that I thought Nick would get drafted. Certainly, I didn't think that. I thought that he'd be more of a draft today. But it's obviously pretty cool that he went in the ninth.
Talking with Andy Stankiewicz about GCU and the college baseball draft, which just finished up. Program has produced at least one draft pick 5 consecutive seasons. Now has back-to-back years with juniors being picked. Last year was Garrison and Schwartz. So you're building this up. If you were to be objective today with me, and you always are, but if you were just to look at this and say, Brad, I have X amount of future MLB players in my program right now. Guesstimate how many numbers that would, what that number would look like, Andy.
Well, I think that we're going to, I think we'll continue to get, certainly get players drafted. I think that the pro scouting community and you know, looks at the development of our program and the stadium and you know, the area we're at, and Phoenix is such a great weather place to develop players. And so I think we'll continue to get guys drafted. I fully expect, and I hope that there'll be two more guys here drafted on day 3, maybe 3, right around there. Mm-hmm. We'll get a shot as well. So I think that'll kind of move it. I think Ian Evans has got a really good chance to get drafted here today, our senior first baseman. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I think that, you know, to say, it's hard to say, hey, this guy's going to be a big leaguer, you know, because, you know, first-round guys don't make it to the big leagues. And then there's 26-rounders that make it to the big leagues. And so that's difficult to I think, put a finger on. But I do feel like we're going to continue to get players that are going to get drafted. I think that in every year we should have a couple players, you know, coming off the board and getting a chance to play professional baseball.
Sorry about that. Talk to the Lopes with Andy Stankiewicz. So you have players that are going out now. What does their off season look like? I know they get spread out across the country. Where are they playing? Just by example, to give fans an idea that baseball doesn't just stop for them when the season is done at GCU.
Well, there's the various winter ball leagues. There's winter ball in Puerto Rico and Mexico and Dominican Republic and Venezuela. So some guys will get some opportunities to go play down there. But typically those opportunities happen when you're kind of getting a double-A, triple-A, you know, a little bit older. So that will begin to happen for some of our players. I know Coach Dorman, our pitching coach, he pitched down in Venezuela when he was a minor leaguer coming up to the Mariners system. I played in Puerto Rico for one winter when I was coming up to the minor leagues as well. And so those opportunities will come for these guys. But really, Brad, you know, professional baseball now, it's a full-time job, and it's the strength and conditioning. Their off seasons are getting in the weight room and getting after it and getting stronger and staying strong. A lot of the guys, our guys, will return to GCU and work out at in our cages and throw bullpens on the mounds and take ground balls on the field. And so they're at the field a lot, getting work in and always trying to stay in shape for getting ready for the following spring training. So it's kind of a never-ending deal.
Right.
You know, it's a full-time commitment. The years of showing up at spring training, you know, to get in shape, those days are over. You show up at spring training, and you better be in shape. And that's the way it is.
You have a thumbnail on next year's team. Are you looking at it like, come on, Brad, you're killing me. It's June. I got guys being drafted. But there's
you,
people.
You always kill me, Brad.
But there is the idea of, okay, what does he have coming back? And so I'm just curious, when you look at your team right now, how do you go about adding players here towards next year that are your team's pretty well set? You've already had signing day, right? And
right.
So how do you go about this off season, and what does your team look like for next year?
Well, we return a lot of, you know, Ian Evans is our only senior position player. So we return the rest of the position players. Now Zach Ballas, a big third baseman, I think he's got a chance to sign today. So that's why at the end of the day, we'll certainly have a better feel. I think Pekai Winchester, our DH, has got he may get drafted as well. And so still some uncertainty there. But for the most part, we return our position players, which is good, because we lose Ian Evans, obviously, who was our third three-hole hitter, had a great season for 2 years for us. He just tore the cover off the ball. It was great. We lose him, and that's going to be tough to replace. But we do have the rest of the returners coming back, the hitters, the starting eight other players coming back. And so that's a good thing. The pitching staff is some uncertainty there, Brad. We lose, obviously, Jake Wong, and then, you know, Jake Repovich, Ethan Ivanko. They were our weekend starters. So the other two are seniors. And so they, you know, they're done with their college career in that respect. And so now we've got to find some young kids that are ready to jump in. And we got JUCO arm coming in. We think it's going to maybe jump in a role. We got a nice arm from Australia that we recruited, that we feel really excited about his development and where he could get as a right-handed pitcher in our program. So there's guys coming in, but you don't know. There's not a whole lot of, you know, for sure's there. Jack Schneider from Basha High School, he had Tommy John surgery in the fall, and so he's progressing well in his rehab, and we would certainly look forward to having him back on the mound. And so a lot of question marks on the mound, but position player wise, we feel like we should be okay.
And you've got more stadium expansion, right? Going on here in the off season. There's more to the stadium that's going to be worked on.
Yeah, those white seats that those were just temporary, and those are going to be removed, and they're basically going to bring the stadium seating, you know, right down to the field that's already in place. And so it'll kind of just bring the stadium, obviously, you know, cleaner. Bring it together, because those white seats, when they have that big black background back there, that'll all go away, and I think it'll just it'll obviously give it a more of a baseball stadium feel.
Before you get out of here, what's your off season look like? I know there is not one when you're a head baseball coach, but are you going to go do some baseball related coaching elsewhere in the off season? You know, U19 this and that sort of thing.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to do any USA stuff this summer. I take that back. I'm going to do a weekend little tournament down in Texas at Arlington Stadium. I'm going to coach a California team, high schoolers, against a Texas team of high schoolers. So that'll be fun. It'll be all some really good players. But they asked me to do that, and I'll do that. But for the most part, I'm going to back off a little bit, and we're going to hit the recruiting trail pretty hard. You know, we got to get better, and we got to always hunting ball players, and so we're gonna be in California and some different places. Obviously, we'll be all over the state of Arizona, you know, doing all the showcases here as well. But it's gonna be a summer of recruiting, and then my youngest daughter is a little softball player at Gilbert High School, and so I'm gonna try to get out and watch her play softball as much as I can.
Got another one that's gonna crush it. Wow.
So we'll see. I hope so.
Nothing wrong with that. Hey, good as always to talk to you, and enjoy your off season. Thanks, Andy.
Brad, thanks for having me on. Thank you. Appreciate
it. There's Andy Stankiewicz there. Every week we talk GCU athletics, and that is Talk to the Lopes for this week.